In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, next week, Advent starts, which means that we're starting that countdown to Christmas, if you haven't already begun that yourselves. I know that with a three-year-old in the house and the stores all doing that from the day after Halloween, that countdown has already begun in her mind. And so I always try to keep that countdown off a little ways until you can actually get into Advent itself. I like Advent to actually be Advent and not, you know, let's get sick of Christmas by a month or two of Christmas before it actually happens. So it's like once Christmas is there, we're done with that. Anyway, next Sunday, Advent. Christmas around the corner, the coming of our Lord. And it means that next week a new church year starts. But we're not there yet. We're right at the end of this year. And so today, on this last week of the church year, we hear a parable told by our Lord in the very last week of His own earthly life. And this parable that He tells, it concerns you and me. But not us right now, not right where you're at in your life right at this moment. It concerns us in the future, or as the parable begins, at that time when the Lord comes again. It concerns the kingdom of God, and that means it therefore concerns all who are baptized. Everyone who has been baptized is what this parable is about. It concerns what will happen to us at the end of time when the Lord comes again. And the parable tells that the end happens at a time when at least all those who are mentioned here in the parable are dead, for they have fallen asleep. And I don't know if you've noticed, but that's the language all throughout Scripture for death, falling asleep, waiting for their bodies to be raised up from the slumber of death. And the reason why Scripture uses that language is that those who fall, who die in the Lord, we merely sleep awaiting our resurrection. And so even if our bodies should return to the dust, nonetheless, we will be raised up just as someone is raised from sleep and they wake up and everything is new on that new morning, that new day. Now, in the parable, each of these attendants of the bride, all these bridesmaids, they all had a lamp. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You might know that verse from the popular song. You might know that verse because you've read it in Scripture. It's from a Psalm 119, verse 105. Very long psalm. 105. Well-known verse, though. These 10 maids, they are all given light by the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp. They're all given that light. And it was given to them first in holy baptism, when God's own name was placed on them. And you might wonder, why does God break up the 10 into fives? Because the five wise are those who love the Word of God. And five is the number of the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses. Five is the number upon which all of Scripture is based. The whole Old Testament always keeps hearkening back to those first five books. Even Jesus in the New Testament keeps quoting those first five books over and over again. So five, the number of Scripture. Those who have been enlightened by the Word of God. And therefore, because they've had God's name placed on them in baptism, they are attendants of the bride of Christ, the church. So this parable is about baptized ones. But what did our Lord note about these baptized attendants of the bride? He noted one thing other than the fact that they all brought lamps. What did some of them bring along with their lamps? Oil. Some had oil in extra flasks, and others did not. And yet every single one of the 10, they all nodded off. They all slept, the wise and the foolish alike, i.e., all of them died before that great and glorious coming of our Lord, the bridegroom, whose coming brings great joy. Moreover, His coming wakes the sleeper. Did you notice that there? The bridegroom's coming, the cry, the sleeper. Even those who are slumbering in death will be awoken by him, by the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the rising will occur, the waking up to new life in Christ our Lord. But notice, only those baptized bridal attendants who brought oil with them were ready when the bridegroom came. For though baptism clothes you in Christ's righteousness and outfits you with the lamp of the Word of God, we human beings run out of oil. We run down. We are leaky vessels and cracked pots, as it were. And even though the Holy Spirit was poured into you at your baptism, His presence and His power in you seems to ebb and flow, doesn't it? Which is why, over these next couple weeks of Advent, we will find ourselves praying collects that have this kind of language in it. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, or stir up your power, O Lord, and come. What we're saying is, Lord, pour in your Holy Spirit into us. Make it active in us. Because we are, apart from His Spirit in us, working in us, and His life flowing through into us through His Spirit, we are dead and lifeless. We're just frail, cracked pots. We're ready to be crushed by the weight of our sin and all the trials and tribulations of this world. But with His Spirit, by His Word, enlightening our hearts and our minds, we are awake. We are watching for His coming. We are wise to what's going on. And that means we're ready for Him. We know, of course, from Scripture, we know that His coming will be sudden. It could be at any moment, but you and I, who have been enlightened from Scripture, we will not be caught off guard. Even if we should sleep, the sleep of death, His call will awaken us, and we will trim our wicks, as it were, and pour on the fresh oil of joy so that our witness to Him and His Word burns even brighter at that moment than when we were awake and walking with Him in faith here on earth. And so, can you imagine, brothers and sisters, can you imagine falling asleep in Jesus, just as our beloved sister Sarah Turnquist did earlier this week, and at one moment in your experience, here in your body, you're experiencing death and feeling the full effects of your birth according to the inheritance of death that was given to you by Adam and Eve. And yet the very next moment, the experience you have in your body is that in the twinkling of an eye, it is rising from the most refreshing sleep you've ever had, because you've been asleep in the Lord. You've been at peace. You've been resting securely, and you wake up changed. You wake up imperishable and immortal and filled with endless vigor and life. For you are now eternally free from the curse of sin. And you are alive in His eternal kingdom, which He has prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and to which, we might say, He's been putting on the finishing touches ever since He returned to His Father's right hand, as He's been readying that place for the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. And so, that day when we are awakened to our new life, it is glorious, it is wonderful, it is what awaits for you and me who trust in the Lord. Even we sleepyheads who will fall asleep in the Lord before that day comes. So, dear Christian, throw off your spiritual slumber now. For one day you will fall asleep in the Lord if He doesn't return first. But do not rest on your laurels right now. You've been baptized into Him. You've got your lamp to guide you through life and to lead others through this dark night of our world unto Him who is the light and the life. But don't get drowsy. Don't get bored. If you find yourself tiring of church, getting bored with his means of salvation, you know, that preached word of life, that foretaste of the feast to come, that washing of regeneration from the font, then repent. For these things, they are your life here below. They are the oil of the Holy Spirit in your lamp. They are the means by which the Holy Spirit gives you oil, readying you for the bridegroom's coming. So have faith in his promises. Top up your lamp and your flask of oil regularly. And if you slumber, let it be the slumber of actual physical death, a blessed death died trusting in Christ. Not the laziness of spiritual death, which turns to the world, to its cares for its meaning, whether it be by partying or drinking or living for the weekend or your camp or whatever fickle fancies the world holds out for you. Be awake in Christ. Live from the light of His Word. For in Christ there is life and exceeding gladness in the glorious sunshine of His eternal love. But apart from Him, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth in the outer darkness of eternal death. And when we all wake on that last day in the resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of the dead, do not be like those remaining ones, those foolish virgins, or those ones, as Scripture of old talks about, who were left out of the ark when God closed Noah and his family and the animals in and shut the door, just as our Lord said in his parable. Don't be like those foolish attendants who thought that the faith of their spouse or their children or their parents or grandparents would be enough for them. Do not think, I am baptized, and once you're dunked, you're good. You know, as long as you get hatched, matched, dispatched by the church, you're good. But dear ones, that's not faith which trusts in Jesus, which loves Him and looks to Him for every good. For which of us would ever believe a man who goes on and on and on about how much he loves his wife all while he's living in a separate home from her in the very same city as her, and never ever seeing her, never ever visiting her, never spending time with her, or even supporting her financially, or practicing the blessed ways between a married man and a woman with her? Such a thing, you and I would know clearly, is a sham. That man is a fool and a liar. So don't believe that those who say they have peace and security in the Lord, but then want nothing to do with Him or His church or His foretaste of the feast to come, where He gives His peace and security. Because that's not watching. That's not walking with the Lord or waiting for Him. And sudden death could seize such people and overwhelm them at any moment. For none of us knows when the Lord will come. And will they be ready? But for you who know that He has died for you, and who in faith desire His salvation and desire to fill up your lamp with His good gifts, He has prepared a place for you in eternity. And so, whether we are awake on this side of the grave or sleeping in the grave, we will all be ready in Him by His Spirit, who has been poured out into our hearts and is poured again every time we hear His word of His death and His resurrection proclaimed to us and for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.